And welcome to the Richard Rants Show. This is Richard Rants. It is August, the fifth day of this August 2020. And what a day, what a day, what a week. As my friend on Love It or Leave It, John Lovett, says on his podcast, what a week. Where to start? Where indeed to start? Well, let's start with we're here live on my Facebook feed. I will be getting a call in about 13 minutes from a friend who is a member of our public and with whom I will discuss some political events, some political perspectives. And that's what we're here to talk about, is political perspectives on what is going on in our world. And I try to focus on representing the best perspective that I can bring, the best fact-based, fact-checked perspective based on reputable news sources. And that is what I try to base my analyses on. And I like to get input from many different sources to try to triangulate from them, and only accepting sources that I view as credible. And determining how a source is credible is it's a process that I was about to characterize as tricky. And I suppose it can be a little tricky, but it involves just some basic analysis of the credibility of sources. And that involves looking at the source, where they get that information, corroborating it with other reputable sources that have the same information, with a knowledge of the bias of your source, and make a judgment from there. So that is what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about political realities based on reliable sources. So let's talk about that. And I would like to turn to several stories that I've been looking at over the past week or so. And you know, some of them were very well outlined in depth on one of my favorite podcasts, which is, it's also a news show called Democracy Now! And you can look at all of their information on democracynow.org. Amy Goodman is an incredible journalist who has been doing this for decades, and it is an independent news source and a really good place to start. In a lot of ways, it's a parade of heroes on that news program, with just one after another interviewed of people who are involved in events in our world, and always people who are involved in a way that is humanitarian and progressive, which is the exact opposite of what the current government of the United States is operating under. The current government of the United States is a calumny, and I hate to talk about it because especially the so-called leader of our government gets talked about way too much. But see, I already lost a listener just saying that. Because who the hell wants to hear more about it? But unfortunately, that's who's at the head of our country. Along with a bunch of cronies and yes men, it's a gangster regime that has no credibility. When I talk about the credibility of a news source, the least credible news source is the president, the so-called president, because it ain't my president. How can that wind up being the point? Now, some of those QAnonsense followers are going to chime in now. Oh, actually, ironically, the QAnonsense followers think that that individual is actually the reliable one, and the rest of the media is not reliable. So, you know, that's ironic. They're one of my pet peeves. It is possible that we'll talk about that a little bit with my first phone guest when they call in, because they've been posting about it as well. I can go on and on, but it's just sort of a recurring thorn. And this recurring thorn is actually an important factor in our ongoing political situation, because the dissemination of misinformation and disinformation is a huge problem in a democracy. And side note upon side note, the democracy, as we strive for it, we haven't reached the ideals of what a democracy can be, but it is something to strive for. And the democracy, as we strive for it, is pretty much the most humanitarian form of government that we've come to practice. With another caveat that the best democracies are the relatively socialist democracies exemplified by those in Europe and such places as New Zealand as well. And you can see that the government there cares for the people. And there is a place for government. This takes me to a reference to Michelle Obama's new podcast. You might look that up on Spotify. Yes, Michelle Obama has a podcast now. And her first podcast came out this past week. And as her special guest on her first podcast, she also had President Barack Obama. And although, as with many of our political figures, he was not as progressive as those of us on the left would like, I still think about the good old days, because in comparison to what we have, he was like Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And a new Franklin Delano Roosevelt is actually what we need right about now. A New Deal, which is echoed in the name of the Green New Deal, which has been put forth by some of our most progressive members of Congress. And we need to have those progressive members of the Congress become the ones that can actually make policy, because we need progressive policy. By progressive, I mean humanitarian. And by humanitarian, I mean that cares about the majority of people, that cares about all the people in our country. And that means we've got to have a social safety net. And as I referred to the socialist democracies of Europe, especially the ones that have been most successful in creating a social safety net, and that is partly allowed by their success in more capitalistic areas, gross domestic product, overall availability of funds, of a market that creates wealth, because you need the wealth in order to spread it around. And that doesn't mean that Jeff Bezos should make $12 billion or more dollars in one day. I am incensed at that. That is disgusting. That disgusts me to my core, that one individual is allowed to make $12 billion while people suffer everywhere in the world. That should not be permitted. I am incensed at that. That is a vast injustice to everybody in the world. That should not be allowed. Hey, I've got nothing against some capitalist endeavor. As I just mentioned, some capitalist success can fuel and fund areas of social safety net that will benefit everyone. There is some benefit to profit, some benefit to production, to creating more resources that can then be allocated to help people, not be allocated for a billionaire to make $13 billion more dollars in one, and I want to swear, day. Billionaire tax. We should have a billionaire tax. San Francisco is a oasis of progressive thought and humanitarianism and compassion for our fellow human beings. I thank my lucky stars that I live in this advanced city where people care about each other, which isn't to say that it's without its faults or that it doesn't have shortcomings. Sure we do. Sure we do. I could list a few. There are still too many homeless people out on the street. However, we do have more resources available in San Francisco for those homeless people, for those poor people, than we do in any other American city. And I am proud of that, and I'm happy for that. I'm proud to be a California taxpayer to help to support that. I'm proud to be a voter in San Francisco. I am proud to have supported the campaigns of our progressive district attorney, Chesa Boudin, and I'll talk some more about him later, with our most progressive social justice programs, where the police in this city will not get away with abusing the populace the way that they have elsewhere. That will not happen. That will not happen in San Francisco. And if any bad apple, and by the way, one bad apple does in fact spoil the entire barrel and make all the other apples bad. So for those of you using the analogy for a police department or some other bed of corruption, yes, one bad apple does spoil the barrel. Check out your apple storage policies and the way that you can safely store apples for long-term care on Google or your other favorite search engine. although Google is pretty much like the search engine. That's why Google is a synonym for searching these days. And if you're relatively cognizant and careful when you do your Google searches, then you will be able to get really good information from there, but you've got to sort through it. You've got to sort through it and use your judgment anytime you're looking at information. And here's my call coming through now, my caller from one of our viewers. And hello, hello. And this, I believe, is Carla because we scheduled your call.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for calling. Yeah, and good. It's good that you shut off the live feed in the background, because then that comes through on the phone. So it's a pleasure to have you on the phone, and I look forward to conversing with you about some of the political events and perspectives that we're dealing with in this crazy world.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. It's beyond belief, actually.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And
I mean, just the two realities pretty much existing at the same time is what kills me.
Yeah. Well, in some ways, more than two realities are, you know, there's like a multitude of, and really, there's reality is relative, of course, to go philosophical, and it does depend somewhat on your perspective, but there are certain basics within our reality that are pretty much indisputably determined and should be agreed upon, and that apparently are not these days.
Yeah, that's like science. You know, we can pretty much look at studies, see how they did it, and know that they're accurate or not. But then what we're seeing is people taking sort of partial realities of those and math. I mean, what I see right now is like QAnon, the conspiracy theories, all of this stuff is basically propaganda manipulation by big players, those billionaires that you're talking about. They want to keep their money. And then they say they're not those people, that they're for the little guy. So it's really hard for people, I think, to get a grasp on what's real, what's not real anymore. We've got fake news. This virus is a hoax. Really? Wow, that's a lot of dead people for a hoax.
Right. Yeah. Let me zoom in on what you said about billionaires. And billionaires are, you know, as I mentioned in my opening, I'm disgusted when I hear that Jeff Bezos made $12 billion in a day. That's horrible. You know, when people are suffering throughout this nation and throughout the world, that one man who's already almost a trillionaire made another $12 billion in a day, and that money went into his bank accounts, that incenses me when we have millions of people unemployed and we're about to have a eviction crisis. We already have an unemployment crisis, and this one man is taking in $12 billion a day. But when you talk about the fake news is promoted by billionaires, I wonder whether that's really the case. Because, for instance, some of this misinformation, and you know, the term fake news it's been overused now. You know, the faker in chief, liar in chief over there in the White House uses that term all the time now. So in a way, it's been sullied by that. I like to maybe call it misinformation or disinformation. But for instance, one of the favorite misinformation conspiracy theories right now going around is that Bill Gates falsely claims that, and it's actually completely ridiculous and absurd if you even scratch the surface, that Bill Gates created this fake coronavirus so that he can sell some sort of fake vaccine. You know, so obviously Bill Gates, this billionaire, did not come up with this misinformation campaign against himself, right?
Right. Well, yeah, you're right. No, there are competing forces clearly at odds here. And I think that, like, for instance, Bill Gates, you know, he's one of those extraordinarily rich people.
Mm-hmm.
But, and he's, you know, and he can be as slimy as any of them, right? But on
yeah.
the other hand, I think that, you know, he has chosen a path of philanthropy, and I think his wife probably had a good influence on him in that direction.
Yep.
And his mission is to eradicate starvation
mm-hmm.
and disease. I mean, that seems like a pretty darn good mission.
I'm behind
and
that.
The best, yeah.
Yeah.
The best way to, and he's making inroads.
Mm-hmm.
Like in a lot of the African countries,
yep.
he's providing new agricultural systems and ways.
Mm-hmm.
He's providing clean water systems for them, and
yeah.
he's providing vaccines that have for diseases that have been eradicated in the Western world,
yeah.
but still there in third world countries.
Yeah.
So his mission is good. He's providing the things, but then there's this whatever propaganda campaign against him
mm-hmm.
Because there's people that believe vaccines are more harm than good.
Yeah.
And we could talk about that for a second, too, because
yeah.
I think vaccines have really eradicated so much disease, and the younger people today don't even realize how bad things were prior to that.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is a level of accountability that we are not holding these pharma companies to that could make the vaccine safer and better. And there
yeah.
is an agenda that it does mean that they're trying to over-vaccinate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that all of that detail, but the fact of the
mm-hmm.
matter is that vaccines are far better for most people.
Yeah.
There are some adverse effects that can be horrible. And
but those are exaggerated, too. Like, for instance, one of the pet claims of the anti-vaxxers is that the vaccines cause a condition called, a couple of conditions that have been proven to not be caused by vaccines. So,
yeah, like autism.
Yeah, like autism. And they cite over and over again one discredited, flawed,
right.
so-called study, and over again, these anti-vaxxers cite the same flawed, discredited study, and then they turn around and claim that every, you know, 90% of all other scientists in the world, well, every single one of them is paid off by some cabal that has,
yeah.
you know, overweening control and power over every scientist in every country in the world, which on its face is completely absurd. And yet that's how they overcome their cognitive dissonance.
Exactly. And for instance, Gates now is providing these vaccines to these countries that need it, that really need it.
Yeah.
And now he's being slandered and smeared.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous what's been going on. And you can look
mm-hmm.
at the anti-vax, I don't know what you call it, conspiracy kind of theory.
Right.
It parallels the QAnon. In fact,
yes, it does.
The QAnon maybe, you know, got some cues from
they did.
The anti-vax movement. And,
they did.
And how to manipulate people by giving a little bit of study, but they're not, like you said, they've been discredited, but then they say, oh, and they're going to tell you it's been discredited, but it's not. And who are you going to believe? Don't be a lemming, you know?
You know, and so much of their argumentation is name-calling and ad hominem attacks, and they pretend that they somehow know better than every expert in the world.
Right.
Yeah, and
right, exactly.
Every
sort of like climate
Yeah.
Change isn't real.
Yeah, right.
Because 1% of scientists think it's not.
That's right. So, yeah, they'll believe that 1% and they will discredit the other 99%. And they will choose to believe the 1% who are wrong and not to believe the 99% who are right about that.
You've got, you know, you were talking about reputable news sources at the beginning.
Yeah.
And we looked at a source called Snopes, which
called Snopes?
Pretty good. Snopes, you know.
Yes, Snopes.com, I know. And of course, these conspiracy theorists, misinformation propagators are going to try to claim that any fact-checking source that disputes their outrageous claims that are in fact false and calls them out for being false, they're going to say that that source is wrong because their YouTube video is right. And you know, Snopes is actually very good at distinguishing fact. Right. And, you know, if you don't want to rely on Snopes, you can look at a bunch of other sources and get the same facts that they are giving you.
Yep.
Whereas if you want to rely on the YouTube video that has an untrue conspiracy theory that is put forth by someone with absolutely no credentials and has no backup from any reputable sources, then you don't have that kind of corroboration.
Right. Well, they'll have backup from a lot of different sources, but they're not very credible.
Right, no, they will have, but the sources are all in some way parroting each other, usually.
Yes, exactly.
You know, they're all relying on the... Yeah, they're all relying on the same discredited study, or they're just going like one will publish a false news story and all the others will refer to that false news story as backup.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And sadly, there's been enough psychological studies that have actually taught, you know, it's in politics and it's in consumerism and corporate consumerism. How do we manipulate? It started with corporations manipulating people into thinking their product is the best,
mm-hmm.
or they need it, and all this stuff. And that was, so they hired psychologists
mm-hmm.
and experts to figure out how to manipulate people.
Yep.
And politicians said, oh, this is great. Let's use this too, right? So
yeah.
It's heavy, heavy, heavy in our world right now. And it's sad. It's sad because, I mean, most people, other than in the left, you know, don't have a lot of spare time to actually spend researching and figuring all this stuff out. And so we're easy targets, you know, easy targets, and it will be the destruction of civilization.
Yeah, it we're well on the way there. And if Trump gets reelected, then that could very well be the end of our world. And that's not exaggeration.
Not hyperbole.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
For a change.
Yeah, he's a loose cannon for sure.
Yeah, and capable of anything. And I heard him described as governing by id by an expert today.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with, certainly not with the public welfare, but even not even with any sort of rational reasoning. It's just his id. Just
I run my company through my gut. You know, maybe that explains all of his bankruptcies, because that's really not a good way to run things.
Yeah, it's not.